My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hour number two. I'm Kyle Madsen, he's James Hamm, we're hanging out with you till noon, and then D'Lo and KC will take you up into the weekend, take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Joining us now, though, this is a real treat, one of my favorite people to talk sports with, Dr. Nirav Pandya, a professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF, also the director of sports medicine at UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital. He is an injury analyst for 95.7 The Game, our sister station out in San Francisco. Dr. Pandya, I appreciate your time so immensely. Thank you so much, man.
No, thanks for having me. Happy to jump on and talk some Kings injuries, absolutely.
Yeah, so let's jump off there. Kevin Huerter, it was announced yesterday, has a dislocated left shoulder that also came with a labral tear. What does that mean for his outlook, and can we expect him back this season?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, whenever the shoulder dislocates out, what ends up happening is that cartilage in the front, which is the labrum, has to get damaged. And really, how bad that tear is really determines whether a player will go out. So not all shoulder dislocations need surgery. You know, coming back to the Warriors, Curry had a subluxation, you know, last season, which was a partial dislocation and was back in 3 to 4 weeks. So really what determines whether a player can come back is how bad is that labral tear and how quickly can that shoulder feel better? Obviously, there's always a risk of repeat dislocation, but there is a possibility you can play without needing surgery, especially with the short time frame before the playoffs.
Yeah, when we're looking at this type of injury, like you deal with baseball players all the time, and this is not the typical, like, what is it called? A slap injury, a slap tear, right? This is something that's totally different. And can you kind of break down the difference between those two types of injuries? Because it really, like looking at pictures and everything, it's really intriguing to kind of see how the shoulder pieces together.
Yeah, absolutely. So that labrum, you know, obviously its main function is to stabilize the shoulder. So if the shoulder pops completely out, you're going to tear that labrum that's kind of right in the front. And that's usually from like one big bad injury, and then your shoulder's going to be unstable. Now in baseball pitchers, where you get this injury is from repetitive throwing. So we all think about our biceps kind of being that beach muscle in our shoulder. But that biceps, when it turns into a tendon, actually inserts up in the shoulder. So you imagine you're throwing repetitively, and that biceps tendon will pull on the cartilage and then cause a labral tear there. So for pitchers, it's a pain generator and they have decreased velocity. For a basketball player, your shoulder is going to feel unstable and painful. So definitely same area, but two different types of things that lead to it.
Talking with Dr. Nirav Pandya, a professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF, talking about this Kevin Huerter injury. We'll get to the Brandon Ingram injury here in a second. What does recovery look like on a labral tear like this?
Yeah, so if you're going down, let's say, you know, the Kings decide, look, we're not going to go down surgery for this. So typically what you're looking for is you want your full mobility, full strength back. And then essentially then you have to be able to do basketball activities without feeling like your shoulder is going to pop out. So if you look at most players who decide to go down the non-surgery route, you're looking somewhere between 4 to 5 weeks in terms of when a player potentially could return on average. Obviously, that varies based on how bad the tear is. If you go down the surgery route, then you're talking 4 to 6 months. So based on, you know, how bad that tear is and how his shoulder feels, it's absolutely possible for him to come back if he can meet that criteria within that time frame.
Now, if he doesn't decide to go with surgery, is there potential for further dislocations? Because that seems to be the biggest concern.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because with that, whenever you do, you know, the non-operative route, you do physical therapy, you're not actually fixing the labrum. What you're hoping is that labrum kind of sort of heals in a little bit, but then your muscles can give you that stability. So absolutely, particularly in that first 3 months, you're at risk for another dislocation. So someone hits that shoulder, you get hit awkwardly, you fall on it, that absolutely is a risk. So that's something that the player and his agent have to weigh. You know, what's the risk of that happening again and making the injury worse versus, you know, the benefit of potentially playing in the playoffs and you know, kind of leading the team to, you know, to some victories.
Is this a situation where, like, with a broken arm, you throw it in a cast and you're good to go? Is this just a sling? Is it just don't move it a certain way? What's Kevin Herter's life going to be like here as he tries to get his shoulder right?
Yeah, you know, it really is, you know, use a sling just for the first couple of days because it just hurts, you know, like it's a painful injury. So you want to get that pain under control and the swelling under control. And then you really are starting to work on motion and strength pretty quickly because the longer you wait, the more muscle strength you're trying to get back. So in the past, yeah, they would keep you in a sling for several weeks. Then you'd spend months getting your strength back. Now we know, okay, there's certain things we can do along the way to get you back. So a lot of it's going to be feeling pretty good within a week or so. Then it's a matter of, can you get to the level of playing on an NBA court? And that's the big unknown.
Now, we're talking about a non-shooting hand for Kevin. You know, this is the left shoulder, not the right. What does that mean for him as far as, like, playing ability? Do you think it will cause problems with a shot? Do you think it'll, like, just the body mechanics of it, is it going to be something that we'll be able to notice? Or will we, by the time we see him again, chances are he will have got through most of that and sort of getting his mechanics back in line?
Yeah, typically when it's not your main hand, your shooting hand, you usually won't have that big of an impact in terms of shooting on the offensive end. I mean, obviously, if he's going to get rebounding, kind of that motion where you put your arms above your head, that's going to be something that's going to stress your shoulder. Where you may see the impact is on the defensive end, because a lot of times when you have to reach out or you're trying to grab people or you're trying to steal it, that where you may see some of the impact because people might be a little bit more hesitant to kind of reach out or go for a loose ball. So I think the offensive end, he should be absolutely fine. Then defensive end, you may see a little bit of compensation, more so that he may just simply be worried with the arm in certain positions with, you know, large NBA players going by.
Dr. Nirav Pandya, the professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF, director of sports medicine at UCF Benioff Children's Hospital, joining us here. Brandon Ingram hurt his knee last night. It was announced this morning that is a knee contusion. He's out minimum 2 weeks. That looked so much worse than a 2 week knee contusion, maybe 3 weeks, whatever it's going to be. So, one, how does that kind of injury happen? And two, is 2 weeks about right for recovery?
Yeah, you know, typically when you see those injuries and, you know, now with slow motion and social media, you see all these injuries that like 10, 15 years ago, you just, you know, oh, someone fell down. What exactly happened? And really with these kind of hyperextension injuries, if you have a little bit of a twist or it's at the right angle, that's when the ligaments, you know, will get damaged. And you're thinking, oh, it's an ACL, it's a PCL. But if you get it at the right angle and it kind of just goes back, then the ligaments may stretch out, but they don't actually tear. And then when the pain's coming from, it's from the two bones kind of hitting together because the knee kind of goes a little bit more than it should. What really determines return to play is, number one, is where is that bone contusion, right? So if you hit an area that you're not loading a lot, you can be back within 1 to 2 weeks. If you hit an area where you're kind of constantly going to be pounding on at that position, it could be a little bit longer. Typically for these injuries, it's kind of basic. It's like when that pain and swelling goes down and you can actually function. The key thing, though, is that if you're having pain, the reason why it's a problem is that that bone is a little bit weaker. So if you keep pounding on it, then it can become a little bit more chronic. So it is a delicate balance. You want to control pain, but you don't necessarily want to numb it up because that bone is a little bit weaker.
We have two other injuries with the Sacramento Kings right now. Sasha Vezenkov is on the tail end of a grade 3 ankle sprain, and it looks like he'll be back any time now. But Trey Lyles sprained his MCL, and I'm just wondering, like, for basketball, what is a typical, you know, time that we see something like this, the recovery time for an MCL sprain?
Yeah, a lot of it's based on the grade. You know, like if it's a grade one, which is like a microscopic tear, that usually can turn around pretty quickly, like 7 to 10 days. Most NBA players usually get a grade two, which is kind of partial tearing. And that's usually where you land, right around 3 to 4 weeks. And then grade threes, you typically don't see very often in basketball players. Those are like the 8 to 12 week, you know, long injuries. So you're typically looking at 3 to 4 weeks. Where it becomes a little bit harder is based on the position. It's a lot easier for like a 4 or 5 to have this because they're just, you know, not moving around as much. For guards, can be much more difficult, particularly because of that cutting and pivoting in kind of short spurts. So assuming that, you know, everything's going fine with his rehab, you kind of look at that kind of time frame. But as we saw with, you know, other players in the past, it can be something, particularly with the intensity of the playoffs, that can come back and bother people a little bit just because they're not as confident in their leg. But there are definitely things you can do to control the pain. It's that confidence that athlete has in their leg that sometimes is a little bit harder to predict.
That is Dr. Nirav Pandya. He does such a great job breaking all this stuff down. He's a professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF, director of sports medicine at UCF Benioff Children's Hospital. You can hear him on 95.7 The Game. You can see him on a bunch of different media in San Francisco. He just does such a great job. We really appreciate you, Dr. P, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks, Doc. All right, there he goes. And then we got to go. Really interesting stuff on the Kevin Huerter injury, the Trey Lyles stuff, and Brandon Ingram as well. We will continue discussing that. We'll get into what was good, what was bad, and what was ugly for the Kings last night. And we got to talk some NCAA tournament as well. Our guys from Colgate are struggling, man. Having a hard time against Baylor.
Struggle is real.
We'll get into all that next day, and maybe we'll talk old physical media. Who knows?
All right.
On ESPN 1320.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Manson. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, look. I'm all for revering athletes. I think that what they accomplish physically and mentally to get to the highest levels of the sport is something that I can't even begin to wrap my brain around.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of baseball growing up. I had dreams and aspirations of playing in college and maybe beyond, but I did not have neither the skill, I was not good enough, but B, the drive to put in the work to maybe achieve the level of skill I would need to play beyond high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I get like that. But the 49ers just posted on Instagram a post that says, quote, "Thank you for everything you've done for this team and this community. Wishing you all nothing but the best." Heart emoji. And it is a series of graphics. They say thank you to Charlie Werner, Chase Young, Cleveland Furl, Isaiah Oliver, Javon Kinlaw, Oren Burks, Ray-Ray McLeod, Sam Darnold.
No Eric Armstead?
Eric Armstead got a separate post.
Oh, got it.
I just don't think we need to be thanking every player that comes and plays for the team. Like, hey, shout out to you, Sam Darnold. Thank you, bro. Couldn't have done it without you. Come on. Like, Chase Young was here for 6 weeks. What are we? Come on.
Yeah.
Charlie Werner, thanks, bro. You know, Charlie Werner was here for 4 years. If you want to give Charlie the nod, go ahead. Javon Kinlaw, here for 4 years, dealt with a bunch of injury stuff, battled through it, played, I think he played every game this year. Mm. Good on him. Shout out. But like, Ray-Ray McLeod, come on. We're doing a Sam Darnold thing. Cleveland Furl, here for a year.
I just wonder, like, if you're going to...
Thank you, guys.
If you're going to do it for one of those guys at that level, you kind of need to do it for all, but I wouldn't have put it in like separate posts. Maybe a collage.
Oh no, that's it's one post and they each have their own slide.
Yeah, I'm not doing multiple slides.
I mean,
they get one picture like a collage together, yeah. Like all smacked into like
thank you to this group.
Yeah, like
of mid-level contributors.
9 cubes. Like thanks all of you. Just like a blanket coverage. Like we thank all of you.
Yeah, like I said, this is not to disparage them as players. It's just like, hey, Eric Armstead gets a post. Eric Armstead is
he gets a full write up of
statement from the general manager and the team and the CEO, like 100%.
Yes.
If George Kittle leaves after this year, if Brandon Ayuk gets traded, if Brandon Ayuk gets a post. I just don't think Charlie Werner needs a post. I'm sorry.
That's traumatic. You're going to walk into an NFL locker one of these days, and Charlie Warren's going to go, "Hey, you Madsen?
Okay.
I need to talk to you.
Great.
Get over here.
Tell him, I'll be like, hey, Charlie, you had 11 catches for 120 yards in 4 seasons. I just don't think you need a post.
I deserve that. I deserve that post.
I took time out of my day to write at NinersWire.com. Check it out. That the 49ers should probably bring you back because you were the second best tight end on their roster last year.
Oh.
Now that sets the bar. It's a very, very low bar.
Yeah.
But he cleared it. I just don't think he needs a... Man, we just don't need to overdo it on social media. That's all. That's a slow time for off-season content. I'm going to talk to the Niners media social guy. Like, what's the impetus behind this?
That's a good question.
And he might have a great explanation. Yeah. It might be like, because we want to honor every single player that straps up in red and gold. Like, you know what? Shout out. Okay.
Okay, but then you need to lay out the other players that they didn't.
Every single player. Where is Ross Dwelly's post?
Yeah, where's the Ross Dwelly post?
It's because he hasn't signed yet. Mm. He hasn't signed to the team. So you only get a post if you sign with another team?
So you're going to get another one of these.
Oh, yeah.
But every single one of those slides is a click, man. Page view. Page view, Kyle.
I guess
they got you. You know what I love? I love when you spend like 22 hours writing a mock draft, and then you hand it in to somebody who then spends another 5 hours turning it into like 35 slides, and then you post it, and you put all this time and energy into it, and then someone goes, "Oh, I'm not reading it." Because I don't want to click the button all those times.
Yeah.
And my response is, you know that you clicked more buttons typing that statement than you would have if you just would have...
Just go through the mock?
If you would have just gone through the mock that I literally spent like 20-something hours of my life on.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to inconvenience you that you need to click through and that click takes like one of a second for you to do.
Are you telling me that I shouldn't whine about the 49ers social media postings?
No, because that's a whole nother thing. That's like everyone needs to read the mock draft. You got to get to your player. It's like, and then they do crazy things. Like, hey, I think we're going to invert this because, the Warriors are at the back end of the draft. And I'm like, no, I want them to click through all
right. That's
28
the, that's the point.
To get to yeah. the Warriors.
Yeah.
And then all the Kings fans can click through the first three. Like, it is what it is. Right? So, anyway.
I think mock drafts are fascinating. I'll click through a mock draft. I don't care where.
Yeah, I read a ton. I wrote them for years. Like, I wrote a lot. I think it was 22 during the pandemic.
You've said that.
Yeah. Like, it's so many. So many. Hey, come up with something new to write about the same.
Bro, I don't.
34 players.
During the NFL season, you get up to the draft. Great. Post-draft, you got some little things to write about.
Mm.
And then it's just barren until the end of July when training camp starts.
Well, yeah, but with basketball, it goes from the draft to free agency to summer league, and then from like July 15th to September whatever, it's
nothing.
It's like, hey, we need a story every day. You're like, on what?
I got nothing, dog.
On what? I don't know. Find something to write about every day. Like, oh, you're kidding me.
Thank you, Ross Dwelly. That's the post I'm going to write.
Thank you, Ross Dwelly.
Thank you.
Cheers to
you. I don't even know who else is a free agent of theirs who hasn't signed yet. Hang on. I'm gonna do a quick thank you on the radio to some of the free agents who are not getting shine. Mm. Thank you, Randy Gregory,
for your
contributions. Tayshawn Gibson, what a time in red and gold. Actually, Tayshawn Gibson is a really cool story. Shout out to him. Wow, they only have four dudes who have not signed. That's crazy. Randy Gregory, Tayshawn Gibson, Ross Dwelly, and Logan Ryan are the only players who played for the 49ers last year who don't have a team for this year.
I'm surprised Randy Gregory hasn't landed somewhere.
From what I understand, not a great locker room guy.
Oh, okay.
Just from what I understand.
All right.
Yeah, well, Tayshaun, then that makes Tayshaun sense. Gibson might hang him up. Logan Ryan was basically retired when the 49ers called him. Maybe they'll bring back Ross Dwelly.
All right.
And we can do a welcome back Ross post instead.
That's right.
I'll be monitoring this very closely. I need to know whether Ross Dwelly and his 49ers career are being disparaged or not.
The worst part is...
I will not have this. I will not stand for this.
They probably have both already ready.
Oh, 1,000%.
They have
dude.
Both ready.
1,000%. I asked him
the
one
Ross
time...
Ross Dwelly made it. Welcome back, the Ross Dwelly. Thank you for your time.
I hit the social media guy one time, and I was like, during... was it the draft? Oh, yeah, it was leading up to the draft. And I was like, dude, what do you got? Like, do they... you've got to have some insight. And he's like, no, during free agency, they get a list of players. And he goes, it's basically just a list of all the best players.
Uh-oh.
He goes, create a list of free agents they could sign. And that's what I get. And then they just have all these. So I'm like, dude, that's so much work that just doesn't get used.
I remember having a conversation that there were videos run. For the Kings had created videos when they had free agents come in and put it on the big screen of like, here's all this stuff.
That's at least fun.
Yeah, but I mean, and then they didn't get any of them.
Hey, but I like the try.
I guess.
Maybe a thank you post on Instagram. Thank you for visiting, Kyle Kuzma. Thanks, Kuz.
Thanks, Kuz.
Speaking of Kuz, we'll have a Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for you next. We're giving away a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. And a chance to win a Sacramento Kings jersey. And we'll have good, bad, and ugly from the Kings' loss last night to the Wizards. We got to talk about it, guys. I'm sorry. Here on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment, all vibes heading into the weekend. Well, heading into D'Lo and Casey. D'Lo and Casey will be with you noon to 4, and the vibes will be high there going into the weekend. Speaking of the weekend, I want to remind you that today at 4 o'clock, the tournament comes to ESPN 1320, 98.5 HD2, your smart speaker, and the free Odyssey app. So once D'Lo and Casey are done with their program here on ESPN 1320, keep it locked in because we will have NCAA men's tournament basketball for you right here on ESPN 1320. And then don't touch that dial because 13 hours of wall-to-wall coverage Saturday and Sunday.
Mm.
So you got your weekend planned. You're going to watch the tournament, but oh, got to run to the store. Got to run to the mall. Got to go get my dry cleaning. I don't know what people do. You'll have the tournament for you right here on ESPN 1320. You can just continue listening to whatever you've been watching. And then, of course, we have our three big watch parties sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. We've got three watch parties for you. The first one, Thursday. Next Thursday, 4 p.m., a Sweet 16 watch party with D'Lo, Casey, and Jesse at Bar West. That is at 2724 J Street in Midtown. Then Saturday, a couple days later, it'll be me and James at 3 o'clock for an Elite Eight watch party out at Players Sports Pub and Grill. That is at 4060 Sunrise in Fair Oaks. And then Monday, not the next Monday, but the following one, Monday, April 8th, it'll be the National Championship Game watch party. That'll be D'Lo, Casey, James, and Jesse at Tom's Watch Bar in Sacramento. Tom's Watch Bar Sacramento at Doko right there across from Golden One.
Mm.
All of those watch parties sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. Also want to remind you that you can bark at us anytime on the Farmer's Dog Talk line, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. Hell yeah.
Good reads, Kyle. Thanks.
You want to get to some good, bad, and ugly from last night?
Yeah, if you feel like we need to torment ourselves.
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay.
What was good for you last night?
Kessler Edwards minutes.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I thought
Kessler's hive was in the building.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, if your coach is going to go to you and say, I need something different tonight, things are going wrong, I need something different, and you can come in and run a plus 12 in 9 minutes, okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah, good for you.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And looked like he knew what he was doing. That was the big takeaway for me.
It's always a plus.
Yeah, he just looked more confident, I think, than he's looked in a while.
They've sent him to the G League a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's helped him. It's helped him just kind of like stretch his legs, but also get some confidence. And like he's going down there and he's making a difference. And then when he comes up, you want him to be ready,
yeah,
and be focused and be able to hop right in and play.
I guess the second quarter was good.
Mm.
If I'm picking something from last night.
Yeah.
The Kings won the quarter by 6 points. Keon Ellis was a plus 15 in the quarter. Fox and Sabonis plus 12 each. Kessler Edwards was a plus 14 in his 6 minutes and 14 seconds of action in that quarter. That was a good little bounce back after losing the first quarter by 8.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Not a lot of good to choose from.
There's not a lot of good. Look, you lost to the worst team in basketball, and you don't have any more of those losses left in you, yeah. And not if you want to be a playoff team.
Yeah, no doubt. What was bad?
Keegan Murray's manic night.
Dude, it was so tough.
Yeah, 8 points in the first quarter, 2 in the third, late in the third, and then 6 in the fourth, a couple of threes. Like, I don't want to see 7 of 11. If you're shooting that well, like, don't disappear. And again, I know people are like, oh, he didn't get to play that many minutes, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, there was a reason why he wasn't on the court. Like, he was struggling, and like he's gotta find himself right now because this team is trying to gear up for the playoffs, and they need him as much as they need anyone else on that roster.
They need more from him, maybe not every night. There's going to be nights where, hey, Fox has it going, Monk has it going, Sabonis is getting inside and scoring. Hey, you know what, Keegan, lock it down on the defensive end, knock down some threes. But last night, they needed somebody to do something, and
anybody.
He took 11 shots. Mm. Third most shots on the team, by the way. 30 for De'Aaron, 13 for Monk, 11 for Keegan. Nobody else had double digits.
Yeah.
Yikes. Bad for me was the Chris Duarte regression. It was 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 7 from three. He'd been so freaking good, particularly offensively, knocking down threes, and he was not great last night. Not bad, not terrible, but offensively, You gotta knock down a couple threes.
Well, the problem is when you're in a situation like the Kings are, and you have Duarte and, I mean, when you have Herter and Lyles and Sasha Vezenkov out, you need a veteran that can step in and give you some scoring off the bench outside mm-hmm. of Malik Monk. Like, it can't just be Malik and then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is where Duarte has an opportunity here. And if you don't take care of that, you don't embrace that opportunity, they're going to go back to Trey Lyles as soon as he's healthy. And they're going to go to Sasha Vezenkov and give him another shot.
Yep.
Like, you could blow your opportunity here to solidify yourself in the rotation, especially if Herter's going to be out long term.
What was ugly besides me?
First of all, you're a beautiful man. Secondly... De'Aaron Fox taking 30 plus shots. Again, like, whatever they did, they took away one of his shots at some point. But for him to take 30 shots last night when you miss your first nine, I just, like, it felt like he was trying to single-handedly bring the Kings back, but without doing what makes him successful, which is getting right to the paint and doing the spray three game. It just...
Yeah, I would love to know the mindset there. What went into Fox going, I'm shooting it 30 times? Was it that, hey, nobody else looks really ready to play, so I'm just going to try and get us in this game? Or was it that he went 0 for 9 early and went, nope, I got to make up for it, and so I'm going to go 10 of my next 21? Or I don't really know, but it was just an atypical game. Maybe it's tired legs. He mentioned after the game that he gets fouled all the time, and that he took 15 shots inside the three-point line and shot zero free throws. So maybe he's fed up. I don't know. But that's not a winning formula, whatever that was last night.
No, and I'm going to say this too. I don't care if De'Aaron Fox takes 30 shots.
Sure.
If De'Aaron Fox is 17 of 30 and he's going for 45, I don't care.
I'm with you.
That's totally fine. But when you can't zoom out and see that what's happening is not good and keep shooting threes, shoot 15 three-pointers, and your team can't quite climb back in the game, and you're trying to, like, win it with every shot?
Yeah.
It's not the formula that he has thrived in. And, like, get to the basket, get to the rim. It's a horrible defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who was even defending him? Like, get in the key.
He was, apparently.
Yeah. No, I mean, get to the fall away, get to the mid range, get to the float game, get to the rim.
He is unstoppable once he's in the paint.
Yeah, and it's not like they weren't fouling people. I mean, Malik Monk went to the line 7 times, went 7 of 7. Harrison Barnes, 6 of 8. Domantas Sabonis, again, 2 free throws, that's not going to cut it.
Nope.
So, yeah, he definitely, I just wasn't in love with what I was seeing on the court. I'm like, you're just forcing it. And I get it, you're trying to win the game.
Yeah,
but we felt that you were trying to win the game. That's not usually the best formula for winning a game.
Yeah, man. I ball movement is what sticks out when the Kings are at their best.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have one guy taking 30 shots and the team dishing out 21 total assists, that's just not... In fact, you know what? I'm looking this up right now. The Kings, that was the 15th game under Mike Brown where the Kings have had 21 or fewer assists. How many wins do you think they have in those 15 games?
2-13.
No, not 2-13. They're 4-11.
Okay, close.
Yeah, 4-11 in those games.
Yeah, you're not going to win a lot of games with 21 assists and 15 turnovers, and nope, especially if you're going to shoot 43% from the field and 28% from three.
Yeah, not going to get it
not
done.
A recipe for victory.
The ugly thing for me, the Rashawn Holmes revenge game, I guess. What the hell was that, man?
Good for Rich.
I don't the same way I would love good for Rich.
Good for Rich.
the same way I wonder, I would love to know what went into the De'Aaron Fox shooting 30. Like, what's his mindset on that?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know what Sabonis' mindset is shooting it 9 times.
Against a guy who's not a true shot blocker anymore.
No.
And who has not played particularly well the last 3 seasons.
0 shots in the fourth quarter for Domas. After in the third quarter going 3 for 6.
Mm.
It wasn't, he made 6 of his 9 shots. It wasn't like he was 1 for 9 and went, okay, I'm going to defer. Like, dude, get And maybe that's a product of Fox being like, I'm taking this game over, everybody clear out, and Domas is just trying to make sure the lane's clear. I don't know. But whatever the Kings were doing offensively, whether it's Domas or whether it's Fox or whether it's the scheme or whatever it is, you can't have your all-NBA center shooting it 9 times in a game that you lost by 7 to the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
That's not... 0 fourth quarter shots in a game that was tight. In a game where, hey, you know what? The three's not falling. We are 11 of 39 from three. Why don't we get it into... They have who's it sent? Let's see. Rashawn Holmes and...
No
one. That's it? Patrick Baldwin Jr.? Like, whatever... Whoever it was, they don't have anybody who can guard him. Get it to him and get an easy basket. Get to the free throw line. They do this every once in a while. Corey Kispert and Domantas Sabonis should not have the same field goal attempts and makes.
No.
That should not be a thing that happens in an NBA game.
No.
So I was baffled by that.
Yeah, Kyle, I mean, these games are frustrating, and it's a formula for losing that we've seen. And, you know, when they do have bad games, a lot of times it is sort of the reduction of shot attempts by certain players and way too many by other players. And you're just like, look, I don't know how to, like, iron this thing out and make it more level. But for right now, like, this is who you are, and you need to figure out how to get to the playoffs. Like, and
gotta do something.
Last night was not a way to get to the playoffs.
Gotta do something. I'm trying to find right now... Who else played center for the Wizards last night?
No one.
Like, I literally... So, the reason I say this is because I said Patrick Baldwin Jr., and Ramsey, as he is wont to do, immediately jumps in and said, he's not a center! No, I understand that, but he's also one of two guys over, like, 6'6", who played for the Wizards last night.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't Jared Butler. It wasn't Johnny Davis. It wasn't Anthony Gill.
Might have been Anthony Gill.
Maybe a little bit from Anthony Gill.
He's got 6'7", 230.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Patrick Baldwin's just like 6'10".
Like, how are you not just taking advantage of that matchup the whole game?
I have no idea. Yeah, the fact is, there's no players there who are centers. That was kind of my point. Real quick, before we get to the handoff with Kenny Caraway, let's give some away. Jiffy Lube, fast break, player of the game. You're getting $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and a chance to win a Sacramento Kings jersey by going to ESPN1320.com. You go to the contest page. It's front and center. You can't miss it. You click on that. Kyle Kuzma is our player of the game. So you're going to type in Kuz. K-U-Z is the code word today. K-U-Z, Kuz. 31 points for Kyle Kuzma last night. 6 boards, 5 assists, a steal, a block. He was awesome.
He was awesome.
Really good. Really good night for Kyle Kuzma. And a really good night for the Wizards. Really bad night for the Kings. And a really good time for us, because it is time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building in the fresh White Sox hat with that 2005 World Series patch on the side. Very dope.
Got bad news. That remember that side I told you there was the patches?
Yeah. Are,
like, most of them are shirt jersey patches, so I need to find
so they're
hat
like
patches.
Big.
They're like 5 inches tall.
Oh, that's too much.
Yeah, it's too much. I might do it anyway, though. Start my own style.
Just all patch?
Yeah, like this much of the hat.
All right.
I'll give you an option here, Kenny.
Okay.
We played your video earlier of you reenacting the famous scene from Saved by the Bell.
Shout out Jesse Spano.
Okay. We can talk about that in the discussion that led to about physical media with me and James. Or we can talk about the Kings game. Physical media?
Yeah, I thought that's what you mean. What you mean?
Like hard, like VHS,
beta,
DVD,
going to
CDs
the video store
versus streaming media.
What'd you guys come up with?
No, we're just talking VHS tapes, things of that nature. Nothing crazy. Just reliving, you know, the golden age of when you had to plug a tape into a VCR.
As you can see, I've answered your question. I'd rather talk about that than
whatever the hell happened in Washington last night.
You were a
Saved by the Bell millennial then?
Yes.
Yeah, because you're 6 years older than me.
I think so. I'm 40. So, I'm a man. I'm 40.
So 6-7 years older. So you didn't do the SpongeBob thing?
No, not
you
really.
You outgrew SpongeBob
but,
a little bit.
Not as a kid. I watched SpongeBob a lot more as like in my late 20s and early 30s and even today.
Because you have kids.
Hilarious. My wife, she knows like all the episodes front to back.
Of course, he knows what a legend.
And all this other stuff. I see him sparingly, and every time I watch him, like, they're hilarious. SpongeBob is hilarious.
I quote SpongeBob all the time.
Yeah.
But it's because I have kids,
yes.
And my boys would watch SpongeBob. That and Phineas and Ferb.
I missed Phineas and Ferb.
I know that was big, but I wasn't Phineas and Ferb guy. There are people who will tell you, one being Kyrie Irving.
Finish this quick.
He's not the only one. They'll be like, yo, SpongeBob. Like, I remember because Kyrie had the Kyrie 3s, and they had a SpongeBob series. He had yellow SpongeBob colorway, mm-hmm. the pink Patrick joints, the bikini bottom joints, the Squidward joints or whatever. So they asked him about it. He's like, yeah, I just really like the cartoon. He said, but if we're being honest, SpongeBob does have some like life lesson stuff in there. If you're like really watching and paying attention.
Of course Kyrie says this.
Well, look, then there was a bunch of other people who I don't know who they are. I don't know if they're normal or not, but they were like, no, he's right. Like, if you really watch SpongeBob, there's some things that you can learn watching SpongeBob in those episodes.
Interesting.
I haven't found them, but Kyrie's not the only one that feels that way about SpongeBob.
Yeah. What was your cartoon growing up then?
What was my cartoon growing up? I mean, obviously the Looney Tunes and stuff like that. But I love the Nicktoons, Rugrats, Doug.
No, I was a big Rugrats and Doug guy.
Ren and Stimpy was kind of crazy. And then like going back and seeing clips about Ren and Stimpy was wild.
That's a tough show.
That was wild. I saw some clips like, yo, this was on Nickelodeon. This was on SNICK. They're doing some crazy stuff on Ren and Stimpy. So,
Stimpy, you idiot.
Were you a Ren and Stimpy guy, James?
No. I love the Animaniacs. And
oh, great show.
I like Tiny Toons.
And I have, Pinky and the Brain. Pinky and the Brain with my dudes.
Well, what's the thing going on right now about X-Men? Right now, like that was on my Twitter heavy.
I don't know.
The X-Men, the 97 joint that used to come on Fox on Saturday mornings.
Mm.
Like, it was trending for whatever. I don't know why.
Maybe they're bringing it back. Yeah.
But even LeBron commented on it like, yo, where can I find X-Men 97?
Oh, I wonder if they, because I know it was on a streaming service. Did they take it off a streaming service or something?
Maybe.
I have no idea.
I saw it yesterday, though. Yesterday, they were buzzing about it.
That's the thing I wish I'd been more into growing up was superhero stuff.
Yeah.
This wasn't really my bag.
Yeah. I wasn't either.
It was like sports, Rugrats, SpongeBob.
See,
a little bit of Rocket Power.
Rocket Power was a good show. It was a good show.
When I was young, it was like Smurfs were on like nonstop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like just a different, that He-Man, G.I. Joe.
Shout out He-Man. I was a little bit, like I was a little kid when I was watching that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't really remember him.
Well, that and the WWF, like the Junkyard Dog and
absolutely.
Yeah. So all that.
I remember.
Fat Albert.
See, I was a kid.
Yeah,
I was like 3 or 4, maybe.
I remember like reruns of Fat Albert.
You guys remember Pro Stars?
No.
I don't know about Pro Stars. You remember that, James? What you know about Pro Stars?
No, I don't think so.
Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Bo Jackson's cartoon?
No.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah. They had their own
cartoon.
I need
to go find this immediately.
Oh, and I watched it.
It came on right after Kid and Play's cartoon.
I watched a ton of Scooby-Doo. Ton of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I loved, dude. It was a treat when Scooby-Doo came out.
And my boys have watched all the Scooby-Doos.
Yeah, I loved that show.
I loved Rocky and Bullwinkle for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
That was my jam growing up, for sure.
Let's be pulling rabbit out of this hit.
That's pretty good.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Kenny's voice acting game, very underrated.
It's just one voice and different variations, different tones, different pitches.
All. It's just all, you do a great Doc Rivers, and then I feel like
I appreciate that, Kyle. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I feel like all your impressions are Doc Rivers doing those impressions. We have 30 seconds. Did you want to say anything about the Kings game?
I mean, I'll say it all on the show. There's not a.
I can't wait.
There's not a lot. I'm not going to go crazy. This team is confusing. I don't know. Anybody, I'll tell you right now, anybody that tells you they know how this is going to end is wrong. I feel like they're going to make the playoffs, but you're like, oh, this proves that they're not going to make it. Or I still think,
sure.
Like, you don't, you have, you think you know, but you really don't know. Jim Mora.
That's it. D'Lo and Casey next on ESPN 1320. See you next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.